Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for July the 5th. I'm your host, Paul White. We get into the actual chapter and verse today of our beginning days of 1 Peter. We spent the last few days dealing with the backdrop, the audience, the author, the context, and the time and the place. Go check those last few days out. Short of doing an overview, because I think we also did a little bit of an overview in those last few days, we want to just jump in today, and today's first verse will look familiar because we actually had to do it a little bit in the pre-work. And also, I want to comment on a comment someone sent our ministry regarding the Galatians study, asking if we would do a couple of days, once we were done, we would do a couple of days of overview of the book. That's a tremendous idea. Problem is, I didn't get that request until we had already started recording on out ahead. Probably should have done a look back, sort of an over smattering of Galatians. We'll try to fix that when we do 1 Peter. We get to the end of the book, maybe we'll do a day or two where we go back and sort of look over what we've done. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These pilgrims, better translated, temporary residents or elect strangers. The dispersion is the Jewish nation dispersed among the various reaches of the Roman Empire. They're dispersed because they don't have their own nation. Paul will deal with the dispersion in a way that Peter will not. Paul's writings to the church at Rome, we work verse by verse through the book of Romans, will deal with Israel as an Israel of the heart, not an Israel of geography. And Paul will say that all of Israel will be saved. Paul's statement not being prophetic as in literally in the future, the nation of Israel will be saved from her enemies. But contextually, Paul was saying, all that are saved will be Israel. And so I think we get that a little backwards in our treatment of Israel today. I don't see any reason not to be kind to Israel, but I don't see a biblical imperative to honor a nation called Israel greater than we honor, say, a nation called Mexico. In fact, I think God would honor them both equally. The death of Christ on the cross has removed any sort of preferential nation not named the kingdom of God. You and I are that holy nation. But in Peter's day, we're dealing with the dispersion of Jewish believers throughout the Roman Empire, covering an enormous amount of ground. He deals with Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Galatia is the same that Paul deals with and we dealt with for the last 6 months in the book of Galatians, these churches in Gaul. Peter had obviously been there. Paul deals with his interactions with Peter in Galatians chapter 1 and chapter 2. Their paths have crossed more than once, and this phrase that kicks off the second verse sounds very Pauline, and possibly Peter picks this idea up from Paul. Verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. This is very similar to a couple of Pauline passages, namely Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So Paul's usage of holy gets translated sanctification in Peter's 1 Peter 1, 2. But this foreknowledge of God is that God foreordained that He would save people by justifying them, by sanctifying them through the Holy Spirit and through the blood of His Son. Now we can argue, as the old timers used to say, we can argue till the cows come home on what the cross meant. And people get vehement on all sides of the aisle about what Calvary was doing. But what we can't, I don't think we can argue against one another that the cross was God's intention, not an accident, not this murderous move by man that God had to react to by resurrecting Jesus, that if man hadn't reacted that way, there would have been no need for a resurrection, for God would not have died. I don't think that's the case. I believe this was a foreordained thing. Now, you can argue why Jesus died on the cross. I believe the death of Jesus on the cross has less to do with punishment and more to do with the breaking of an old covenant sold out by his own people. Jesus goes to the cross to buy them out of a covenant they had with Moses and God. And I think Zechariah bears this out when he says that God told Israel he would break his covenant if they would offer him a price, and they paid him 30 pieces of silver. That gets fulfilled when Judas walks into the Pharisees and sells Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and they know what they are doing. They break the covenant that they had with Moses and God. They enter into, they don't assume any covenant, although Hebrews will say that as the old vanishes and fades away, the new comes on the scene. We call that the new covenant. And in the new covenant, that's elect according to God's foreknowledge, there is a move called the sanctification of the Spirit. This is the middle of verse 2. And that sanctification of the Spirit deals with the holiness of man. I heard someone commenting this last week before I made this podcast. They were quoting an old-time preacher, actually, and the old-timer said something along the lines of, the problem in the church is that we have ceased to be holy. And that's so typical. I heard that stuff all my life. You know, we're not as holy as we used to be. But what the problem is that's looking through the eyes of the flesh, a clear violation to me of the spirit of Paul, the spirit of Paul's judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:16, we don't judge any man according to the flesh. And to say the problem is people aren't holy is to deny looking at them through the spirit eyes, which shows them as holy, and looking at them only through natural eyes, which shows them as failing. So if you look at someone through natural eyes, you see that they are failing. You will walk away saying, you know what our problem is? We're not holy enough. If you look at them through the eyes of the Spirit, and they're believers, then according to the Word, they have sanctification of the Spirit. Sanctification is holiness. They are not holy by what they do. They are holy by the Holy Spirit. So who do we think we are that we can say, I have been holy? What would be holy? Reading, praying, fasting, going, giving, doing? Well, if what you wear, well, that's what people would say is holy. So basically, we got to buy God off. We prostitute the move of God to the highest bidder of external holiness. So whoever does it better gets more. Sometimes I don't think we realize what we're doing there. And so when Peter talks about us having sanctification of the Spirit, this is a work of the Holy Spirit, not an external work of ours. You don't lose your holiness by doing things. You may do things that don't look like someone holy should do. That's another argument, but it doesn't make you less holy. We'll deal with the latter part of verse 2 tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.